right. Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Nemi Kitanui. Let us say that this Shaila, which we finished off yesterday with, which is, do you say shahakal on cooked vegetables, is actually a machlekas tanoim? Dahanu trei talmidei dahavi yasvi kamei de bar kafra. There were two students that were sitting in front of bar kafra. Heviu lefanav kruv vodur muskin and upargiot. They brought in front of him kruv, some sort of cabbage, and durmuskin, which is some sort of cooked vegetable, and the third thing is they brought in front of him pargiot, which is, if you've been to a Israeli wedding, pargiot, it means these chicken, the young chickens or whatever it is. So nosan bar kafra rishus le'echad mehen levarech. So bar kafra gave a permission for one of them to make a bracha, to be yotze all of them. So which bracha is he going to make, and on what is he going to make it? Kofatz, this kofatz again means the lesson of jumped, but he means he was hasty. Ubarach al hapargiot, and he quickly made a bracha on the chickens, which is obviously shahakal. Ligleg olov chaveiroi, his friend laughed at him. And Koas bar Kafra, and bar Kafra got upset. Amar loyal hamavarach anikoyas, not on the one who made the bracha am I upset. Ella al hamalaglik anikoyas, I'm upset at the one who laughed, at the one who mocked. Im chaveirecha doime kimi, so in other words, you think he did the wrong thing? Who says he did the wrong thing? Im chaveirecha doime kimi shalei toam tam basar me'olam. If your friend obviously likes meat, and he makes it as if he never tasted meat in his life, so he's very, so meat, he wanted to make the bracha on the meat first. So ata you al malik lagta, what are you laughing at? Lagta alav, what are you laughing at him for? If he likes meat better, then that's a valid reason. We're holding a bit down number testament alav. If he likes meat better, so then why are you laughing? That's a valid reason for him to go ahead and say a bracha, because you say a bracha on the thing that you like best. You want the bracha to be chal with relish. You want the bracha to be chal with. On something that you appreciate. In fact, sometimes that's part of the reason why we eat. We use this world to be mekadesh the stuff. And if a person eats with relish, with good, with having intention to, use this to serve Hashem, so he should eat it with relish. He should eat it with a gishmak. Food should go down with a gishmak. I'm doing this l'shem shemayim. And therefore you say a bracha with gishmak. The more you appreciate it, then the better the bracha will be. So he obviously appreciates meat better. So then, let him make the bracha on meat. Then bar kafra switched tunes. Chazav amr lo'el hamalag like anikoyes. I'm not upset at the one who laughed. El al hamavarach anikoyes. At the one who made the bracha without asking. He was hasty in making the bracha. Va'amar im chachma inkan. Even if you want to say that there's no chachma. You wanna insult me and say that there's no chachma. But zikna in kan. Is there no zikna? Don't I have experience? Should you not have asked me? Even if you want to say that I don't have chachma, but at least I have experience. I believe that's what he's saying. So, at least I have experience, and therefore you should have asked me. Tana, there was a statement about that from the Tanaim, that v'shneihem lo yetziu shenazan. Both of them did not live out the year. Which, as we see, both of these students, who Bar Kafra got upset at, did not live out the year. Which, as we'll see throughout the Talmud, it's never a good idea to mess with the Tanoim and Amoraim.
So the one who laughs and the one who made the bracha, both of them.
Exactly. So now, my love, obviously in connection with this, wasn't just a virus going around. Otherwise, the Gemara would not have mentioned it. So now, my love, baha kamiflagi, is this not what the students, so there's a machlekes tanaim, is this not what the students were arguing about? The mevarech savar, the one who was saying the bracha, held that shlokai supargioit shahakal liyabudvari, everything in front of him, both the durmuskin and the krov, since it was already cooked, it loses its status of hadama, therefore he has three shahakals in front of him. He had chicken.
But the The first one, the proof, was not cooked.
How do you know?
It doesn't say so. It says...
So, it doesn't...
Three things. Kruv.
Yeah.
Vidur Mishkin, or Parganios.
So, and what's...
Implying that the kruv was regular cabbage.
Why?
Otherwise, it would have been part of the cooked stuff.
Oh, I Durmuskin is, as far as I understand...
You said it was cooked vegetables.
Cooked vegetables, but it was a specific vegetable. That's... It was a specific vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
I meant... I think the cooked part goes on both.
Mm-hmm.
It's some sort of... it is a cooked vegetable, but I meant that...
Article saying that the cabbage would have been cooked off.
Yeah. I meant that it was a specific vegetable. I don't think it means that they were... It's like a durmuskin is whatever. It's a type of vegetable that was cooked. So you have three things in front of me that are shahakal, and therefore, I'm going to say shahakal. Now, generally, the halacha is that you should try to say the more specific bracha first. So if a person has a ha'etz and hadama and a shahakal in front of him, so we say, you say the ha'etz, and then the hadama, and then the shahakal. So he should have said the hadama first, if there was a hadama. That's what the laffer held. But he held that there was no hadama here, because everything was cooked, and memela reduced to a shahakal. Now I could choose the one that I want best. And therefore, I like meat best. That's what the laffer held. Hilka chaviv adif. Therefore, the one that he liked best was best. Umalagleg sovar, no. And the laffer held, shloka is bari pri hadama. The cooked vegetables have a status of a ha'adama. Pargiot is shahakal ne'abedvara. Hilkuch peradav, it's better to make a bracha on the fruit. And we see that that's the machlekes. That is gufa the machlekes. And the Gemara says, loy, that's not the machlekes. The kuli alma shlakus pargiot shahakal ne'abedvara. Now that's an interesting turn. Because up till now we were saying that everybody besides for Rabbi Binyamin Bayefes, who doesn't count when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is around, holds hadama. And the Gemara brought proof after proof. Now, then the Gemara's final step was, okay, maybe it's a machlekes tanaim, and the Gemara is now making a left turn and saying, oh no, everybody holds shahakal. So it is a bit interesting that the Gemara should take this turn. They argue in the following svara. Mar savar chaviv adif. They both held that there was only shahakals in front of you. But this one held that, the one who made the bracha on the meat held that you do what you like best first, and therefore he made the meat. Marasavar kruv adif, it's better to say the bracha on the kruv because desiring, because it is very healthy and sustaining. And therefore, you should have said, you go after not your personal taste better, but medically what's best. Amar Abzerik, Yavinan Bei Rav Huna, Amar Lan, when I was by Rav Huna, he told us, Hani gar glidi delifta, if you have these turnip tops, parminhu prima rabba, if you make them, if you chop them up into big pieces, so then bari pri hadama, prima zuta, if you finally chop them, then they lose their status and you get a shahakal ne'abedvaro. However, v'chi asoin l'bei Rav Yehuda, when I came to Bei Rav Yehuda, Amar Lan, he told us, no, idi bari pri hadama. V'haide parminhu tfei, this that they chopped them up a lot, is kihechi dinamtik taimei, so that it will sweeten its taste. Okay. So therefore it retains a hadama. Amar Vashi, ki havina and beirav kahana, amar lan tavshila de silka, a cooked, there's a dish of beets, deloy mafsha be kimcha, where you don't put in a lot of flour, you say beir pri hadama. However, the lifta, a dish of lifta, of turnips, de mafsha be kimcha, where you do put in a lot of flour, tvei, where you put in more flour, beir minim zonis. You say beir minim zonis. Vahadar amar, and afterwards he said, nope, idi beir pri hadama, they're both beir pri hadama, vahaydi, shodi ba kimcha, tvei, and this that you're putting in more flour is lidbuke be alma avdila, it's only as a binder. And this is, like we said, by licorice, it's only used as a binder, and memela, the flour is not there for taste, it's not there to make it filling, it's not there it's just to hold the licorice pieces together, and that's what it's doing in this turnip dish as well. And memela, even though there is a lot of flour, you do not say a bracha ha-mezernes on it, because you're not eating it for the food part. There's a shaila, sometimes people put salad croutons, and they put it in for the crunch. Is that considered? Because you like to, you know, make it crunchy, but it's not for the taste, and it's not for the. So, what's over there? Obviously, if you have croutons with taste, you know, garlic croutons and this croutons and that, fine. Sometimes croutons are just there for the crunch. So I was by Rabbi Shlomo Miller, and somebody asked him the question, but I don't remember what he answered. But my guess would be that you do say mezainis. That would be my guess. Amr Chista.
Would make two brachas.
What?
Would that be a bracha shen atzmicha?
Two brachas on that. That wouldn't be impossible.
But would that be considered a bracha?
Right, right, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be impossible. It would be. When do we say two brachas if it's not made together? And mezainis, yeah, I think you may have to make two brachas there. If you're really not doing it for the, I have to look it up though. I don't believe it. Amar Chista, tavshil shel terodin, a dish of terodin, which is beets. By the way, if art school disagrees with anything I'm saying, please tell me. Tavshil shel terodin, yava lelev is good for the heart. V'toiv le'inayim. So, I'm not sure what the difference between yofa and toiv is, but it is literally beautiful for the heart, and toiv le'inayim, good for the eyes. Because she came to b'nei ma'ayim, and certainly for your stomach. So, it should have just said toiv le'lev le'inayim. Apparently, it acts differently on the heart than it does on the eyes. Amar Abaye. This is if it's sitting on the stove and it's cooking for so long that, you know, sometimes you have a pot cover and it's bubbling up. So the every time the pot cover bubbles up, it makes a sound. So it makes a tuch tuch sound. So it's, Bikitzer, he's saying it cooks for a long time. So this is it's called an automatopoeia or something like that. Where the sound makes the sound of the word. Amar Rav Papa, pshita li maya de silka kisilka. Beet soup, if you cook beets in water and eventually it turns into soup, is kisilka. It has the bracha of silka and you make a hadama on it. Maya de lifta kilifta. And similarly, a turnip soup is like a turnip. What maya de kuli shalki ka kuli shalki. And in fact, any type of vegetable soup, the halacha is that the soup itself attains the status of the actual vegetable itself.
You do not make a shahakol on that?
Right, you would make a hadama on the soup itself.
Is that how we paskin?
We say, well, it's certainly if there are vegetable pieces in there. There's a difference, should have looked this up before. I have to remember, there's differences between whether it was strained out or whether they're planning on being there. I do believe this is how we paskin. And the difference is as follows. Why is this any different than apple juice? Because by apple juice, we say it's the sweat of the fruit. It's not the actual essence of the fruit that's coming out. Whereas if you cook it, it's the essence of the fruit that comes out. That is what the Rush says. And yes, I believe this is how we paskin. I think so. Reuven, what do they have in the back there? Yeah. Right.
To make two brachas.
No, you just make a...
You make atzman. Atzman means individual.
No. He makes the bracha of the fruit itself. So, yeah, so that is how we paskin.
We have more notes on
it. Yeah. Remember, there are some differences. It's just not coming to mind right now. Okay, boy, Rapapa, my the shivsa, my. What about water that was cooked, that the shivsa plant was cooked in? What's the halacha over there? Is it limituke taima avdi? Do you use this type of ingredient to make things sweet?
By the way, he says shivsa is dill.
Dill, okay. There you go. In Rashi they say anit, but I didn't think it would help anybody. But okay, if they know that anit is dill. So do you cook shivsa? Do you cook dill? Is it made to make things sweet? and therefore you would make a Bar Pri Hadama on a dill soup. Or the people put dill in not to make things sweet, but rather to take away some of the bad zuama of a soup. Some of the, you know, sometimes you see on the top of the soup floating, you know, whatnot, you know, some oils and things like that. And like, so if you were to put dill in, apparently it goes away. So is that the purpose of dill, or is the purpose of dill to give a taste? Anafkumina, whether or not you say a hadama on dill. Because if it's not there to enjoy in and of itself, like lematuke, it's there just to take away some badness of something, of other things, then you will not say a bracha hadam on it. And the nafkamina would be also, do you say a bracha on its juices? So, it sounds to me like, why does the Gemara have to go ahead and ask this question in the format of the soup of dill, and not ask it in dill itself? It would sound to me like people do not eat the dill itself, and therefore, even if you were to go ahead and eat it, you would not make a bracha. But if the one time people might eat it is in dill soup, and there the Gemara says, okay, so now let's go back to dill. What's the purpose of it? If the purpose is it to give taste, so then, okay, so when you eat a soup of dill soup, then you would have a bracha. But if you eat if it's there just to take away bad taste of the soup, so then if you make a dill soup, you would not be making a bracha. You would just say shahakol on the water. Toshima, the Gemara proves from the fact that it says hasheves, which is this anit, this dill, mishin nos natam bekedera ein ba mishum truma. If you start cooking it in, and once it, if you start cooking it, as soon as it gives over its taste to the kedera, to the dish that you're cooking it in, it itself is no longer subject to the halachas of truma. For example, if you use dill that was truma, and it is no longer considered a food. These dill pieces, they gave their taste into the pot, and the dill pieces themselves are now considered garbage. So it is no longer considered a food. It cannot be metama tumas eichlem. But what we see is that it is there to give taste. And therefore, shmamina lematuke taima avdila, people use it for their taste, shmamina, you can prove from there, and therefore, it is subject to the bracha of hadama if you somehow get it into an edible state.
So the Gemara here is coming to the conclusion that it's not individual what you intended. It's what the Arlam uses it for.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was understood in the beginning. The question is, what did the Arlam use it for?
I thought it was dependent upon who was making it, for what reason you were doing it. In other words, it turns out...
I would say that if the person himself has an overriding, I'm not doing it for that, that might be different. That might be different. The Gemara is saying, what do generally people do? Amar Bichir Bar Ashi, past...
What does it mean that it's no longer truma?
In other words...
What's no longer truma? You took truma...
Dill truma. You took dill truma.
And he took this dill and said, this is truma. Now he puts it in his soup.
Right. So now he if he can scoop out those dill pieces...
Okay, the soup is truma?
The soup, it might be truma, yeah. Or if the soup is not truma because it has 100 other things, then it has taste of truma in there. It might not be truma. I'm saying it might be. But if you go ahead and you scoop out those dill pieces, then it's not going to become... You can do whatever you want with it. It doesn't have the kedusha of truma anymore. Again, if Art's goes saying differently than me in anything, please tell me.
Are you permitted to do
that? Yeah. Yeah, this is a normal way of using the food. You can't use food in a way that's not normal, so you wouldn't be able to, you know, if this wasn't normal, you would not be able to do it, but this is the normal way of eating dill.
Because the dill expelled its taste and loses its true taste?
Yeah. It's now like a piece of wood. We have other examples of this.
Our school says exactly what you say.
Okay, good, thank you. Omar Rav Chia Bar Ashi, past sanuma, bread that is dried out and you put it into a bowl or whatever to soak. Bika'ara. So it's put into a bowl to soak. Mivarchin alea hamoitzi. You make a bracha hamoitzi on it.
We just said that if you leave.
So I don't.
In water before that, you make a shay.
So that was if it was in there so long that it is. that was in there if it was in there so long that it lost its tsurasa denahama, and how if the water itself turned white because of it. Over here, it wasn't that long. It was just dried, crusty pieces of bread that you put in water. So the Gemara says, "Upligat Rav Chiya." This argues on Rav Chiya. The Amr Rav Chiya tzarich shetichle bracha im hapas. Now, it sounds like from the Pashtus Gemara Rashi that Rabbi Chiya is saying that you do not make hamoitzi on pieces of bread. Pieces of bread. You do not make hamoitzi on pieces of bread. Rather, you make hamoitzi specifically on full loaves. The question is, but we already had a Gemara that said on tiny pieces of bread you make a hamoitzi. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is arguing on that. Rabbi Chiya is arguing on that. So I see Tosfos says that it's talking, and I'm not sure if Tosfos and Rashi are agreeing in this case, but at least I see Tosfos says that it's talking about the question is which one to say the bracha on. So if you have a full piece of bread in front of you and you have also these other things, then the Gemara at first says you can make a bracha on even the pieces. However, Rabbi Chiya says that no, tzarich shetich lebracha im hapas. You have to finish the bracha at the same time that you're breaking open the bread. Maskev l'rava, maishna tsunuma. What's the difference between these pieces of bread, deloy, that you're saying not to make a bracha on it? So in other words, he's not saying overall you don't say hamoitzi on it. He's saying that the bracha itself should be going on the piece that is whole, but not the pieces that are messed up. Says the Gemara, asks Rava, what's the difference if it's going on the tsunuma, the already broken pieces, deloy, you don't want to say the bracha on it, mishum dechikalia bracha aprusa kakalia, because when you finish the bracha, it's going on a piece of bread and not a full loaf of bread. But if you're telling me to break the bread at the same time you finish the bracha, ala pas nami, kika gamra, when you finish the bracha, aprusa gamra, you're finishing it on a piece of bread. If you're telling me to break it at the same time, so then you're breaking it, and your bracha is finishing on a broken piece of bread. So ela amarava, mevarech, you first say the full bracha, the achar kach baitzea, and afterwards you break the bread, which is what we do. Nahardoi avdik Rabbi Chiya. Nahardoi did it like Rabbi Chiya. He broke the bread and as he finished the bracha. V'rabbanan rabbanan avdik Rava. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Amar li aim, and my mother told me, Avuch, your father, Ovid Rabbi Chiya, used to do like Rabbi Chiya. The Amar Rabbi Chiya, tzarech shetich lebracha, in my past, that you have to finish the bracha with the bread. V'rabbanan, I'm just going to get to do that. V'rabbanan avdik Rava. The Rabbanan did like Rava. The hilchasa k'rava, the Amar mevarech v'achakach beitzea. And the halach is like Rava, that first you make a bracha and then you cut the bread, which is what we do.
Does this have anything to do with what we started? The discussion was dry bread in the bowl.
No, the point that it was in the bowl was not the ikker. The point in the bowl that it was pieces of bread.
It's pieces of bread that were in the bowl, part of a dish.
So I don't know if it was part of a dish or was just being soaked in water. It says bika'ara, not bikadera. Bika'ara is like in a bowl.
Okay.
I don't know why that's important. That it was dried and it was soaked. I'm not sure why Gemara had to speak about it in that case.
Maybe if you preferred the bread the way it was cut up in the bowl, soaked bread or whatever it was, over the loaf.
There are forms of bread that, like hardtack, which is super dry, like if you're going on a long journey, it won't spoil. But it's so hard that you need to soak it before you can really eat it.
No, I don't mind the fact that there's hard bread. I just don't know why if the whole conversation is about pieces versus whole, so then why does it have to be talking about specifically that type of bread? Just say pieces. There's leftover challah from the lunch, and you're having challah shittas. Oh, you're right. Taisa says that it's because you liked it better in that way. So that's why it says tsunuma. Because if it was just regular pieces, how could you like pieces more than a full loaf. Why? It's the exact same bread, just this one is a piece and this is a loaf. That's why it said tsunuma, because you like the tsunuma better. But second to bottom line. Says the Gemara, Itmar Havilufneim Petitin Ushleimin. If a person, now we're talking about straight. Now we're, this sugya is talking about straight pieces versus a whole one. If there are pieces in front of you and a shleimin in front of you, Amar Avuna Mevarach Ala Petitin. First, you make a upoiter as a shleimin. He says it's talking. Rashi explains that we're talking about the petitin, the pieces are larger than the shleimim. So in other words, you have half of a big challah and a small bilkala, small little rolls. So which one should you do first? Says Rav Huna, you make a bracha on the petitin, on the small ones, on the pieces ones, even though it's bigger, or because it's rather because it's bigger. Upoiter es shleimim, and that will pater the small, that will pater the small but whole ones. Rabbi Yechonin Amar, no, shleima mitzvah min amuvchar. It is more proper, it is a bigger mitzvah, to make a bracha on the whole ones. Aval prusa shel chitin, but if it's a piece of chitin, it's a half a challah of wheat, and the bilk of the roll is v'shleima min asayrin, and the roll is from barley, so it's a lower status, it's not as good a bread, then divrei hakol mevarach ala prusa shel chitin. Everybody agrees that you make a bracha on the wheat bread, even though it's a half, upoiter es ha-shleima shel soirin, which will pata the shleima of soirin. So we now have three factors that we can talk about. We have whole versus not whole. We have size, the size, gadol versus katan. And we now have the type, wheat versus soirin. So if we were to stop here and make a list of what's important, we would say wheat is first, even if it's smaller, and pieces. Then comes, so wheat is your first, is the thing to go first. Then we have a, then the next question is what's the next order of importance? Well, the next order of importance is a machlokes between whether or not a whole one or a bigger one is more important. Certainly if you have a big versus a small, big goes. And certainly if you have a whole versus a half, whole goes. Question is, those two are conflicting. It's a large piece versus a small whole. That's the machlokes. But everybody agrees that wheat wins everything. That the type wheat wins everything over. What? Sorry?
Large piece
versus
small
whole. Right. Yeah, so that's that would be the machlokes over here. Where Rav Huna says you go after the large piece, and Rabbi Yechonin says you go after the whole small.
Whole pitas, and then also plate with the pita chips and the
right.
chips. But you really don't even want the whole pita. You're okay to wash on, I mean, say hamotzi on the chips, or you have to eat the whole bread?
I think that we're talking about over here where you're planning on eating, them. The question is which one are you going to, either which one are you going to eat that were the same for you, or, but if I'm, all I'm doing is looking for the chips, I'm looking for the, let's say I want the spelt one. I'm a spelt guy. So then, I don't think you have to eat. I personally am not a spelt guy, but I'm saying. But let's say you want a. But let's say you want to eat the spelt ones. Then yeah, you don't have to. You're not meshuvah to eat something else. It's if I'm eating them both. Which one should you make the bracha on? So, taking into account everything that you're going to eat, then you make. Then you figure out the orders. It says, "Termin butzel katan shalim." If a person has a whole bowl of onions, which onion should he take out to give to the kohen for truma? You have a whole bunch of onions, so it's the same shiloh over there. You have a small but whole onion, and you have a large but half onion. So the large half onion is more than the small whole. Which one should you give to the kohen? Says the Gemara, it's a machlekas. Termin batzel katan shalem. It's better to give truma a small whole onion, av loy chatzi batzel gadol, and not a half a whole, a half a large. V'Rabbi Yehuda, aimer loy, no. Ki ela chatzi batzel gadol. It is better to give the large piece, even though it's a half. Now, my lav b'hakam ifliki, is this not the machlekas? The Maris over chashuv adav. This one holds that it's better to give the more chashuv one, which is the larger onion, even though it's half. Umar sever shalom adav, and this one holds, no, it's better to give the complete onion, even though it is smaller. And the Gemara says, nope, that's not what the machlekas is. Heicha de'ika kohen, kuli amalai pliki de chashuv adav. Actually, everybody agrees that it's better to give the large piece, the larger piece of the half of the larger onion, even though it's a half.
And that might spoil faster.
Oh, excellent. Everybody, if the kohen is around, so we're not concerned with spoilage, because he's going to use it for that night, if it's better to go ahead and give it to him, the more chashev piece, do we argue where there's no kohen around? So you're going to take off the truma, and you're going to put it on your kitchen windowsill. And then the next time a kohen knocks on your door, you're going to say, oh, by the way, I have some truma to give you. But who knows when that's going to happen? It's not... If the kohen is around, you take truma from the better one, even though it might not last as long. And if the kohen is not around, you take from the longer lasting one. And therefore, if the kohen is not around, says the other Tana, take from the smaller onion, even because it is whole, and therefore will last longer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Terim Elamin Hayafe. Nope, you only, even if the other, even if the kohen is not around, take off truma from the biggest, from the best piece, and if the kohen gets it in time, he gets it in time. If he doesn't, you throw it out. Well, you wait till it spoils. I'm saying, if he gets it in time, he gets it in time, and if he doesn't come, instead of having 2 weeks to give it out, you're going to have 2 days to give it out, and if he doesn't come in 2 days, it starts to spoil, you chuck it.
Does that mean that there's like, certain time to go out
and go? No, it means you're in a village. You're in a village, and you're waiting, a guy knocks on the door, and you happen to, you ask for his green card, and you happen to see his name is Katz or Cohen. Like, are you a Cohen? That's amazing, because I have some truma.
But, like, come, like, every single time. Like, you come.
You're right. So we don't know when the Cohen's going to come.
So should
we get it? What? The machlekes is, so what do you set aside and put on your window? Do you say, well, it's better for me to set, do you set aside the best? And even though the best might spoil quickly, because you'll say, listen, the kohen will come. If the kohen comes, then great. And if he doesn't come, what can you do? Or do you set aside the most practical one because you never know when he's going to come? Amar of Nachman by Yitzchak, back to bread. The Yirei Shemaim, Yotzi, back to bread, and which one to make the bracha on? The Yirei Shemaim, Yotzi Dei Shneim. Yirei Shemaim could be Yotzi, both opinions. Umanu, and who is this? Mar Brei Doravina. The Mar Brei Doravina, Mar is like, Mr. What does that mean? Mr. means like Mar. Like this distinguished one, they translate it as. The distinguished one, Brei Ravina, the son of Ravina, so it doesn't give him his name yet. The Mar Brei Ravina, Maniach Prusa B'teich HaShleima, he used to put the small one underneath the whole one, the piece, the larger piece, underneath the whole one, and Ubaitseya, and he made a bracha like that. He held both of them in his hand at the same time. And when he cut them, he cut both. So therefore, he got both brachas. The bracha was Chal on both of them. So he got both opinions in. Tani Tana Kemeder of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Maniach Aprusa B'teich HaShleima, Ubaitseya Umavarech. There was a Tana who was talking in front of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and he said the same Eitzah, do both of them. Put the bigger piece, but the better one, underneath the Shalem, and make a bracha on both. And Amarle Mashimecha, what's your name? Rav Nachman asked him. Amarle Shalmon. Or Solomon. Amale Shalom Ata Vishalma Mishnasecha. You are a Shalom, you are peace, and your Mishnayas are complete, are also full of peace. Shesamta Shalom Baina Talmidim, because you brought peace to the Talmidim. You made they were having a machlekas, and you said, well, I'll have an Eitzah, I can pass like both of them. You're both right. Amar Papa Hakol Moedim be Pesach. Everybody agrees on Pesach. Sheminiach Prusa B'Derech Shlema. Everybody agrees that on Pesach you should do that. You should take the broken piece and put it underneath the whole piece. Ubaytzeh and make a bracha like that. My time. What's the reasoning? Lechem Oiniksev, because it is a poor man's bread. Therefore, you want to have a broken piece because it's a poor man's bread. He takes pieces, he doesn't take whole things. And that's why, of course, on Pesach, we go ahead and we have the middle matzah is broken. I do believe the Goyen only had two matzahs, right? I think anybody have that minig? They only use two matzahs. I think so. Amar Rabbi Abba, Ubishabbos, Chayv Adam Lebetzayah al Shtei Kikaros. On Shabbos, you make ibracha with two loaves of bread, my taima, as it states in the Pasuk, Lechem Mishnah Ksiv, as it states in the Pasuk, Lechem Mishnah. It's actually this past week, which is, of course, we like to point out the Daf Yomi miracles at when it works out. Amar Rabbi Ashi Chazina, I pointed this out to my kids this week. This is the after seeing the Rabbi Victor Miller booklet. You know, you have the challah, and it's like for the mon. Amar Rabbi Ashi Chazina leil Rav Kahana denoket tarti ubotza chada. I saw Rav Kahana, he held two in his hand, and then he cut only one of them, which is what people do. Rav Zera avibotza akula sheruta. Rav Zera would give out bread on Shabbos, challah, he would give out enough bread for that you would use the entire meal. So he gave everybody a large chunk of bread. Amalei Ravina Laravashi, but how come is Chazik Karav Sanusa? Doesn't this look like you're gluttonous? You're giving me a piece of bread that's going to last me for 2 hours. This huge chunk of bread. Amalei Kevin de Kol Yoimalei Ka'ovetachi. Since every day I don't do this, every day I give you a small piece of bread. Vahaidna and Shabbos Kodesh Ka'ovet, I am doing this. Loimis Chazik Karav Sanusa. It does not look like you are gluttonous. It looks like you're being Mechabed the Shabbos. You're eating it on purpose on Shabbos in such a manner, and I'm giving big pieces on Shabbos. So we're not gluttonous that we like food, because if we were liking food, we would do it on Thursday night. But no, we're not doing it on Thursday night. We're having it on Shabbos specifically so that we can honor the Shabbos through this food. Rabbi Ami.
What is the basis for
Lechem
Mishnah on Shabbos
today? Yeah, I actually asked my kids the same question this week. I don't remember. And Shalosh Shodas also.
Because if it's night, for the month, too, but,
yeah.
They've eaten one by...
Yeah, I know. I asked them the question without knowing the answer. And Baruch Hashem, nobody followed up. But actually, had they followed up, I would have to look it up, and then I would know now. He wants to know, why do you need two challahs on Shabbos day, or Shalosh Shodas? Because the whole reason why we're having it is because that on Shabbos day, on Friday, they took two portions. One for Friday, one for Shabbos. So in order to remember that, then we have the we take two portions. But by Shabbos day, you've already used up one of the portions. It could be it's just as a remembrance. Yeah.
You actually have to hold both, or is it okay just to have in mind both?
Well, the bracha is chal on both, so you put it in front of you, and you know. I don't know where I get this from. That is what I do. We have to import a Mishnah Berurah in here. I'm going to bring it in to later today. Because all these, it's going to be Mefurash Mishnah Berurah, a lot of these questions. I do know, I personally hold it. I don't remember if I got it from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch or from the Mishnah Berurah or not. But I do, if this is the two things, then you know, you go like this. You go like this. Yeah, I think we do hold it. I don't remember if it comes from the Lashon of Mishnah Berurah or not. What are you saying?
Usually, one opinion, like two opinions. So, why do you do that?
Well, that's because usually they're a stira. Should you tie your right shoe first, or should you tie your left shoe first? But over here, it's if you couldn't get both, you may as well get both.
Is it considered more appropriate to break the bread rather than cut it?
I don't know why would it be, just because it's
the
right. The Shana says a bait seya, right?
The knife required.
Right. It could be that was just, you know, we're more Victorian and English in our mannerisms, and that's why we do it. And back then in the Middle East, it's just like but I don't know. But that could be. That's actually the most probable. It's just more of a refined, you know. I don't think there's anything in. That would be my guess. That was probably the meaning back then, just because that's, you know, we are more Victorian in our mannerisms. I don't know if a lot of the food that is. I'm saying a lot of the utensils that we have, you know, we hardly eat with our hands, officially, I'm saying. You know, almost everything is with some sort of utensil.
There's that weekly, you know, the email, the Halacha weekly email.
Yeah.
Last week it was about Lecha Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
And
it mentioned the using a knife?
I don't remember.
It definitely talks about making a cut. It definitely talks about making a cut, even in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, but it's making a mark of the sangha. So you see, you do have a knife there.
I know, it's sitting on that.
Yeah. The question is, do you have a? The question is there a? Is that a recent development? You know, in the times of the Shulchan Aruch or whatever, or because you're I don't, because back in the Gemara's times, you know, that's more. There were more. More of a thing.
Thing.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, the whole thing was on Lecha Mishnah, definitely.
So he has anything on knives? Lecha Mishnah. Oh, to remember the month. For the Shabbos, it is whether at night, day, or Sur, the Shlishis, one must say Hamaitzi. This recalls the month. Yeah, it doesn't say why by day. Okay, woman and children, size of the Chal, Lecha Mishnah, two loaves. Oh, procedure of which Chalat to cut? Yeah, Alpi Kabbalah, they say that the Friday night is the bottom one. And Shabbos day is the upper one. Cutting both loaves, that's going to be that's a minig.
I see a lot of people do that. They, even though they're not going to eat both, they cut both.
Yeah, that's the minig. That's the grains minig. Hands on the challah or challah cover on the challah. It says one must hold the challah itself. It's best to put all 10 fingers on. Oh, now I'm remembering. Yeah, it's Mephorish thing in the Mishnah Berurah. You're supposed to put all 10 fingers on it. Okay. I don't see anything about... Yeah, it doesn't have anything about the actual knife versus cutting it.
That's about throwing it. Or
throwing the challah. Strictly speaking, you should not throw bread. Some of the minik to throw have to, have the minik to throw bread. Huh. Because it's like the Kateris. Wow. Okay. I know people who throw bread.
I've heard of that when you have people at the table, instead of passing it down, they throw it.
Well, that's supposed to be a mourner if you hand it to someone.
Right, no, so he's... Yeah, but you could...
He talks about that, I think.
But, yeah, he does. Yeah, so he brings down both of them. Okay, I have actually seen somebody... take it and throw it. This is actually a point of in my parents' house. My father was brought up, as I said before, from the Middle East. My father is brought up in Morocco, in the Arab lands. He was there till he was 15, so a lot of his mannerisms come from there. And the way he does Lecha Mishnah, he makes a little cut, and then he just like takes a piece of challah and like whips it down the table. Next one whips it down. That's what I was making fun of before. But my mother is English, from Gated Reb Schwab's daughter, and this is one thing like, ah, don't throw the challah. But it's very, I mean, she's already used to it. They're married over 50 years, but it's definitely something that has. That's my fault. I could just see like a regular Arab go ahead and whip it down the table. But I guess I didn't know that it's this minute, yeah.
It's going back to the two challahs. Apparently the article says that it is a commemoration, even for Shabbos Day.
Right. No. I'm sure it is. Just the question is, what's the pshat? But the question is, what is the pshat? What is funny is there is a sefer out there. It's the art school has it. Not art school. Yikel has it. And it's an older version of either one of the Siddurim or one of the things. And it says, why do we have the Lecha Mishnah in memory of the three Sudais that the sudais that Esther gave Achashverosh or Haman. That, and we were looking at it like, what? Where does it say that? And then we realized that whoever wrote the Sefer misread the words Haman, and there was like the three sudas of Haman. The sudas of Haman. But
there were only two sudas.
Yeah, so first, so the Maisa in the next version of that sitter, they corrected it. But we still have over here in the Kale the old version. So it was pretty funny. Anyways, okay, right, I guess it says that, why do we have Lecha Mishnah, it must say, why do we have Lecha Mishnah? Because of the two sudas that Esther served Haman. That's it is. Okay, Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, both of them, ki havi misrami le rifta de eruva, if they would ever have the chance to have the bread of the eruv in their house, mevarchen alei hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. They would use that bread, like we use matzah nowadays, and we usually keep it from week to week. So, but if for whatever reason they were eating that bread that week, or let's say on the Shabbos before Pesach, a lot of people eat that matzah. The minhag in Klal Yisrael is that if you ever need to make an Erevei Chatzeros, let's say in an apartment building or something like that, you do it again every Pesach. And therefore, most people use matzah because they want it to last the whole year. So if on the Shabbos before Pesach is when you use that box of matzah or whatever, or the Shabbos after Pesach, when you've already got the new box, so they would use that box of matzah. They would use specifically that box to say hamoitzi on it. Amri ha'olis avid bei mitzvah chada ne'avid bei mitzvah achlite. Since you already did one mitzvah on this matzah, you made an eruv on it, let's do another mitzvah with it. Abarav, tol baruch. If you are made a bracha, alatilas, you made a bracha, and you said a ha. You already said a hamoitzi, so you already, and then you want to go ahead and say some words in between your eating, in between the finished bracha and your eating. So generally, if a person says anything, even one word, that's a hefsek, and he has to make a new bracha. And that's why if a person talks in between his tefillin, he has to make a new, he has to make two brachas on his shalot roish. Anytime you make a hefsek in between a bracha, you have to make a new bracha. However, words that have to do with the bracha is not a hefsek. By the way, this is not in between al natilas yadayim and hamoitzi. If a person by mistake talks in between al natilas yadayim and hamoitzi, you do not have to wash again. It is one of the strange mistakes that people make. I don't know where it comes from. It's just not true. But? No. Between what? Between Al Hanatil Sudaim and Hamoitzi? Let's say you're sitting at the table waiting for everybody to come, and your sister kicks you, and you says, ah, what'd you do that for? You don't have to wash again.
No, I'm saying,
No. Well, the other people could say, I mean. But you can't say, let's say another person makes a different bracha, you can't say amen until you eat. You can't say anything except for things that have to do with your bracha. So tol baruch means before the person who made the bracha, before he ate, he passes to other people, and he says, take from this piece, take from the, and make a bracha. Even though he talked, he doesn't have to say another bracha. Habei melech brings salt, or Habei liftan brings something to dip it in, the chumos or whatever. Sarach levarach. According to the first man, the Amar, he says you do have to make a bracha. However, Rabbi Yechon and Amar, no.
What's the difference between the two? Both are.
Well, so the Gemara is the next. Right, the next opinion is afilu haviyo melech haviyo liftan. Even if you say bring salt and bring the dip, you do not have to make another bracha. Nami ainit sarach levarach. And that is, by the way, how we paskin. If you say pass the salt, then you do not have to make another bracha. And however, this man d'amar holds, Rabbi Yechon held, gvil laturi, mix something up for the animals, you do have to make another bracha. However, of sheshes amar, nope, even that you do not have to make another bracha. Because the Amr of Yehuda Amarav, this is allowing you to eat, because it is prohibited for a person to eat before he gives his animals to eat. As it says in Shema, first Hashem says, I will give grass in the fields for you animals to eat. And then it says, so we see that animals should eat before a person. So if a person did make a bracha before he gave his animals to eat, then it is permitted for him to say, oh, quickly give the animals to eat, so that he will be allowed to eat. Probably if a person sends a shliach to go ahead and give the animals to eat, that's probably enough. You know, you have taken the measures needed to go ahead and have them eat. You don't have to wait till they actually eat. Like, stand there and eat. I don't want to eat, but then I can eat. You know, you don't have to, you can, as long as you are, as long as you have given your animals to eat, then that's okay. This is obviously no gea for anybody who has pets. And actually, Rav Moshe extends this to even people who are not, who are totally dependent on you. For example, a little baby. You have a little baby crying, you can't eat without giving him to eat first.
According to Rav, what's the difference between Tol Baruch, and you know, bring the salt?
You know, I'm not even sure to why Tol Baruch. They translate as what? Come and make a bracha.
Take a piece and make bread.
Yeah. So I don't really understand then why that's mutter for me to say. You see, bring salt is mutter for me to say because I need to salt to dip in it. So the answer to that question is that he says, so eat the first piece and then take salt. You don't need to eat salt right now. That would be the answer. And Rabbi Yochanan tells, no, you do need to dip it in salt. So the machlokes would be how important salt is, not whether or not you're allowed to talk. Everybody would agree that if you need to, for example, let's say you're eating something and there's a plastic wrap around it, and you can't get to the plastic wrap. You know, sometimes they shrink wrap it so tightly that, and you try to eventually need a skill saw just to get through that plastic wrap. So those type of things, you could say, how on earth do you open this silly wrap? You could say that. Because that's helping you get to the food.
He
should have eaten first. Correct. That's what I'm saying. The first thing is, I have a hard time understanding why Tol Baruch is mutter at all. I can understand the machlekes of Havi ul Melech is whether or not he holds that it's important to dip your bread in Melech. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan holds yes, he held not, and Mamela, the question is whether or not it is something that is helping him eat. But I don't know why Tol Baruch is so simple that it's mutter. But all right, we'll have to stop over here. Have a great day.